But Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm trying to inspire some of you parents to keep your children in church. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just read two verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that's just reasonable. That's what he said. Since you know about the mercies and the grace of God, this is just reasonable. He's not asking any unreasonable thing. This is just what we ought to do. Amen? And be not conformed to this world. You notice that? Be not conformed to this world. Not look like it, sound like it, sing like it, dress like it. But be ye transformed. That means a whole different machine. You've been went from one thing to something else. You've been be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to cooperate with God in your change process. How to cooperate with God in your change process. Amen. Have you ever wondered why some people make a profession of faith in Christ and nothing happens? Nothing. Well, there's one of two problems. Either number one, they've never been born again. So they have no desire to be like Christ. Number two, they have been saved, but they're not being led the way they ought to be led. They don't know how to cooperate with God the Holy Ghost as He changes them. Well, the secret there is in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Well, conform to this world is easy. If you get in something, it's going to press you into the image of itself. So you get in the world, you're going to be conformed to the world. That doesn't take any thinking. That comes natural. You just fall into that. You teenagers, it's easy to die and go to hell. All you do is get on that Broadway and let them conform you to what they are, and you'll end up where they're going. Come on, help me. And your parents and grandparents, it's your job to keep them out of that mass of people and don't let them be conformed. But as believers, here's the secret. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the transformation is taking one thing and making it into something else. It's taking a dirty, rotten sinner and making them into a wonderful saint. Amen. So to be transformed, you've got to renew your mind. Now, when He saves you, He gives you a new mind. But you've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to renew that old mind. Because now you've got two. You've got the mind of Christ in you, and you've got your old carnal mind in you. And what you've got to do, you've got to transform the carnal into a spiritual mind. See? So here's how you do it. Number one, with your mind, you got to think about some things. Turn to Proverbs 17:24. Real quick, Proverbs 17:24. We told Maddie to bring her to church tonight. We'd take her to get her some ice cream. If the old preacher had shortened his sermon a little bit, she'd get there. Proverbs 17:24 says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. He's thinking. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. In other words, he never settles on one thing. The wise person thinks on some things. The foolish person, he just sent everywhere into everything. And that's what that's talking about. So number one, here's the way that you cooperate with God changing you and changing your carnal mind into a spiritual mind. Here's the way you do it. You focus on one thing at a time. You can't change everything all at once. Now, God can. God can change anything He wants to. Some of us, when we got saved, we were miraculously changed in many ways. And it was obvious. Amen. But after that, there were still some one things at the time we need to take care of. Now, you can quit lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, adultering, and all those other things overnight. But there's some things like pride and arrogance and anger and things like that. You've got to focus on one thing at a time. You want to know why you kids don't make good grades sometimes? Because instead of focusing on that one thing you got to do, which is math or English or whatever else it is, you're focused on what that gal over there is wearing and what that guy over there is doing and that guy over there is sleeping. And the teacher don't know her hair is messed up in the back and it's in a big bird nest. And you focus on everything but the one thing that you need to focus on. Now, the devil will give you a lot of things to look at in this old world if you want to look. He'll call your attention. Hey, he will demand your attention. Video games drove more people stupid than anything's ever been invented. You don't have to think to play a video game. You just sit there, slobbering. What you doing? What? What you doing? Video game. Is it fun? Huh? Is it fun? Yeah, it's fun. Brain dead. You want to know why? Because that video game, it doesn't stay on one thing at a time. It goes boom, 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 and you don't have time to think. But if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to learn how to focus on it. On purpose, you got to think about what will make you a better Christian and start working on it one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Now, this fella came to my church one time. He got saved. He was an alcoholic. He quit drinking liquor and he was running around with the wrong crowd. And he quit running around with the wrong crowd. And so I'd let him do things at church. And one of our more holy brethren said, "I can't believe you letting him do that. He smokes." I said, "You don't know what he used to do." I said, "If all he does is smoke, he's doing pretty good now." Amen. If that's the worst thing he's doing pretty good. Amen. Or chew. You can say it however you want to. I'm not calling any names or anything. But I'll tell you what. Focus. Hey, look here. If you have a problem with alcohol and cigarettes, focus on the alcohol first. Amen. Cigarettes ain't never made anybody shoot somebody or have a car wreck unless you drop the ashes in your lap or something. Amen? Smoking won't send you to hell. Just make you smell like you've been there. It'll shorten your life. But liquor will take you straight to hell. It'll destroy everything. Now, you listen to me. Focus on one thing at a time. You don't have to have... Look, don't get saved and then say, "Well, I'm going to be the preacher." No! Get saved and say, "Oh, I need to get baptized now." Get baptized and say, "Oh, I need to join church now." Join the church and say, "Oh, I need to take part in the Lord's Supper now." And find out what all those things mean. Focus on one thing at a time. And then as you go along, look at yourself, not everybody else. You can't fix everybody's problems. Work on yours. Well, I go down to that church, bunch of hypocrites. Amen. We're all hypocrites at some time about something. Amen. Amen. We say thou shalt not, and we do. We say you shouldn't say it, and we say it. At some time, all of you is hypocrites about Walmart. Ain't nobody in here said they love Walmart. And you say you hate it, but I see you down there.
Yeah.
Everything you got is wearing. Everything you're wearing says made in China, Walmart. One thing at a time. Brother Ron, don't try to do everything and be a mature Christian overnight. Are you young people listening to me? How about obey your parents in the Lord? How about honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days on earth shall be long? One thing at a time. Amen? You got a problem with gossip? How about cutting your tongue the first thing? Just stop it. You don't need rehab. You don't need a program. You don't need a conference. You need to grab your tongue and hold it and say, "Oh, I'm not saying that." One thing at a time. If you're going to be... Hey, God's wanting to do it. You just got to cooperate with Him and He'll help you do it. Amen? Number two. Are you mad at me? Well, I'm working on one thing at a time. Hang on. Number two, turn to Matthew 6:11. You don't have to turn there. He's teaching the Lord's Prayer, and he says, give us this day our daily bread. Not monthly, not yearly, daily bread. One victory, one day at a time. You got something to eat today? Thank God for what you got to eat today. He said, don't worry about those things. God takes care of the birds and the bugs and the bees and the flowers and the trees. He'll take care of you. He thinks a whole lot more of you than he does them. One victory at a time. You can't overcome everything on the same day. Amen. Some of y'all ought to get with that with your parents, your kids and your grandkids. If you whip them every day for everything they do wrong, you're going to kill them. Am I right? Just one thing at a time. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, what you need to do if you're going to cooperate with Him is focus on His strength, not yours. See, when we try to do it, we fail. And if we make a success of it, we brag on it and make it sin by turning it into pride. Well, I used to drink a gallon of liquor a day. So what? Big deal. What's God done for you? Amen. Well, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. If you did, you landed on your hiney. Listen, one victory a day. You don't have to have ever daily bread. And you don't have to win every argument. What you need is you need His willpower, not your willpower. Now, I'm not against anybody going to any kind of help group, if that's what helps you. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, your willpower will not accomplish what you're looking for. You need His power to accomplish. It's Christ who strengthens me. Amen. It's He, the hope of glory in me. That's what changes things. That's how you cooperate with Him. What you do, Brother Ron, you admit, you say, Lord, I know I need to do this, and I've tried, and I've tried, and you don't say, but today I'm going to do it better. I've made up my mind, I'm going to do this. No, you say, Lord, I've tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed. Lord, help me today with this.
Amen.
Philippians 4:8, turn over there. Philippians 4:8. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Hold on, we ain't through. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. All right, here's how you help God by cooperating with Him to transform you. Now, this is the way I do it. I focus on what I want, not what I don't want. I don't focus on what I don't want. I focus on what I want. You young people, listen to me. That crowd that you think is so cool at school and in your neighborhood, you're going to get about 45 years old and you're going to see them.
Right. True.
And you're going to say this. When they walk off, you're going to say, they're dumb as a box of rocks. I thought they were cool. They were not cool. They were crazy. They're crazy people. And they don't fit in that passage that I just read. And by the way, adults, that could go for music, that could go for entertainment, or TV, or anything. Now, what I do is I focus on what I want. I don't say, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to do this. I say, I want to be healthy, so there's some things I'm not going to do. You know, I could smoke cigarettes. I'd go buy me a pack of L&M's right now, Langston and Monroe. Ain't that what they named after, Langston Monroe, L&M? That was my favorite cigarette. I smoked 2 packs a day. I could go back to smoking them and still go to heaven. Did you know that? But I'd go a whole lot quicker. Now, I'm going to heaven. I've got a reservation. I'm looking forward to it. But if you're getting up a busload tonight, there's a couple things I want to do before I leave. Amen? I'd like to see my grandchildren graduate high school. I'd like to see some of your kids and grandkids saved. I'd like to see our people in our church healed and things like that. So I don't focus on what I want. I focus on what I want, not what I don't want. I don't say, well, Lord, don't send me this kind of person, that kind of person. I say, Lord, send us people that you can work with and that you can change if they need changing.
Amen.
See, a lot of churches are looking for perfect people. They're already transformed and they're already trained and they're already smooth. But you know what? It works a whole lot better. If you'll get somebody in your church and get them saved and get them baptized and get them right with God, instead of saying, I don't want that kind of people, you say, I want any kind of people that God will use that will allow Him to transform them. Then you'll get a Thomas. Then you'll get a Rick. Then you'll have the best piano player in the county. Then you'll have the best preacher's wife in the county. You knew you had saved men on that one, didn't you? You'll have the best preacher's daughter in the county. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you'll focus not on what you want, but what you don't want. I don't want to drink. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to be around people that do. I don't want to destroy my health. But I do want to do this. You'll eat broccoli. You will. You eat broccoli. Because for your health. You eat it for the taste.
There you go.
Amen. I eat it with cheeseburgers. Look at Galatians 5:16. I'm just trying to tell you, how do you cooperate with God's changing process in your life? Ron, you did. And you still are. And I did. I still am. I'm cooperating with Him. I don't know how to fix these things. Amen. So I invite Him in on the changing process. Galatians 5:16, if you will. In Galatians 5:16, He says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know what He's saying? We ought to be focusing on doing good, not feeling good. If we go by feeling good, we'll never change. Because change does not feel good. It hurts. That's why most people can't walk across this room without passing out. They only wanted to feel good. They didn't want to feel pain, so therefore they didn't do what would make them healthy because it wouldn't feel good. That's why we don't eat broccoli. It doesn't taste good, so we don't want what's good for us because it doesn't feel good. So, you don't read certain parts of the Bible because it doesn't make you feel good.
Amen.
You don't like certain kinds of preachers because they don't make you feel all fuzzy and good on the inside. I put on my Facebook page one day, somebody told me I wasn't supposed to judge. I said, what did you think you'd see on my Facebook page? I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist pastor. What am I supposed to put on here? Kittens? Be a cold day where the boogeyman's going when you see Holroyd's kittens on my Facebook page. I don't share them. Amen. I'll put one of his cows on there if it's beef steak. Amen. But we, look, what we need to do, if we're going to cooperate with God in our change process to meet these requirements of this scripture, to be conformed, not transformed, then there's some things God's going to get you to do that just don't feel good. I'll be honest with you. I got up this morning, I didn't feel good. And if I'd have been the average Baptist, I'd just lay down to church. Yeah. I'm going to tell this old story right there since y'all, some of you don't know it. Some of you got them numbered. Number's 36. Look it up. Pastor got up one day on Sunday and told his wife, he said, I'm not going to church today. She said, why not? He said, I'm tired. I'm going to go play golf. She said, you can't play golf on Sunday. Everybody in this town knows you. You better go to church. He said, I'm not going to church. I'm going to go play golf. No, you can't do that. I'm telling you, everybody knows you. He said, I'm going to call the deacon and tell him I don't feel like coming to church. Him preach, and I'm going to the next town to play golf. Nobody know me over there. And he went over to the next town, and he got up on hole number one. Hole in one. one angel looked at the other one. He said, why didn't we make him do something terrible like miss that or strike him with lightning or something? Instead, we let him get a hole in one. Now, how's that punishing this guy for not going to church? He's the pastor. He ought to be at church of all the people. And he said, it is punishment. He said, how is it punishment? He said, who's he going to tell? That would be you. Amen. We don't, look. We ought to focus on doing good, not feeling good. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. Come on. This new generation, these kids get up and say, I don't feel good. And we say, oh, let's call the emergency room. Let's call the ambulance. Let's call the doctor. What you need to do is look at him or her, whichever case it may be, like my mom used to. She'd say, I don't feel good, but I got to go to work. Get your sorry hide up. You're going to school. Now they fake throwing up. They'll spit up a little food or something, you know, and say, oh, I'm sick. At my house, you had to be throwing up blood. Amen? Help me out here, son. Well, to focus on doing good, not feeling good. Well, to do right, and after you do right, good feelings will come. Look. It's never easy to do right. If it was, everybody would be right. Or at least the majority would be right. And that's just the opposite. The majority are not right because it's not easy to do right. But when you do right, some good feelings come. Amen? I remember before I ever got saved, a few times I went to church after we got married and the Lord was working on me, and I'd go to church, and I'd go in that church, I was thinking, boy, I'm going to hell. That preacher's going to preach hell, fire, and damnation right at me. I'm going, and it just, no matter what he preached on, that's the way I felt. But when I left, I felt good. You know why? I didn't feel like I was going to heaven now, don't get me wrong, but I felt good. I felt like I had done something good that day. I went to church. I honored God. I sat up under that preacher and let him tell me what a dirty, rotten dog I really was. But it made me feel better that I went to church. Amen? Well, preacher, I don't feel led. Show me anywhere in Scripture where it says you're supposed to feel led. You're just supposed to do it. Now, if you'll cooperate with what God wants you to do and do it, the feelings of contentment will follow the obedience. You want to know what's wrong with a lot of kids? Why they're so ill? You don't make them do anything. You forgot their kids. They don't know what to do. That's why they have parents. You want to know the most contented children in the world are those whose parents have a regular lifestyle and a regular program or schedule, whatever you want to call it. And these kids know they're expected to live that way. And if they don't live that way, punishment comes. And when they do live that way, they have a feeling of contentment and they feel like they're all right because somebody else is in charge. They're not. Amen. Same way with Christians. When we obey the Lord, whether we feel like it or not, when we do obey Him, we are contented after we do what He said, even though we didn't feel like doing it. You know, if I just didn't show up at church one time, I wonder what people would do. You ever thought about that? Well, where's the pastor? I don't know. Well, he's late. And then you sit here for 30 minutes, well, I guess he ain't coming. Where's the pastor? I don't know. And then the next Sunday I come in, I said, well, I just didn't feel good. And then a couple Sundays later, I did that again. A couple Sundays later. And then pretty soon, you know what y'all do? You'd fire me. I wish I could fire some people. I wish I could fire some people. But they don't get paid. That's the only bad thing about having a small church. Nobody gets paid but the pastor, so what good would it be to fire him? He just sit there and look mad at you from then on. But contentment will come after the obedience. Now, what you need to do, you need to cooperate with God, and then as you do that, He will change you to where you won't even go by feelings anymore. You'll just do it. You know, after I got saved, Brother Billy, I don't know about your house, but at my house, we never discussed going to church. We never discussed it. It was just done. Becky, do you ever remember a time when we got up on Sunday morning and said, well, you think we ought to go to church today? You know, Carowinds is open, the beach is looking good, the mountain's looking good, Disneyland's open, and Pensacola, Florida's going real good right now. Do you think we'll go to church? You never heard that discussion.
I've never talked about those places.
Well, the city park is open, Winthrop Lake, and we
Carowinds,
yeah. But we never discussed that. We just got up and went. In our Christian life, if we'll obey the Lord and cooperate with Him changing us, if you'll do it two or three times, you'll start doing it without even thinking about it.
Amen.
People say, I don't know how to witness. Well, just talk to people. Just open your mouth, start talking. The Lord will give you the words to say. And then you'll find out that you're doing it without even thinking about it after a while. If we only did what felt good, we wouldn't do anything at all most of the time. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. We may get there before that ice cream melts, Maddie. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He said, you were doing pretty good. You were running this race. You were in it. You were doing well. What happened? Who got a hold of you, as they would say in South Carolina? And I put the of in there so you'd understand it. Who got a hold of you? Amen?
Amen.
Who hindered you? After you get saved, people will hinder you. So what you got to do, if you're going to cooperate with God and Him changing you and transforming you, you got to focus on people who help you, not hinder you. You hear me?
Amen.
You got to focus on people who help you, not people who... But preacher, I'll bring him up to Ireland. No, you won't. He'll hinder you. Leave him alone. Go get somebody that's going to help you, not somebody that's going to take you down. Look, you don't need to carry somebody else's weight. You got enough weight by yourself. Amen? What you need to do is find people that are like you. And they want to be transformed. They want to be close to God. They're not in, out, up and down, half in, half out, half up, half down, halfway goes to church once a week or once a month or twice a month. Those people's not going to help you. They're going to hinder you. You girls, look at me. Look at me, girls. I don't care how good looking he is. If he ain't right with God, get away from him. There's some good looking men that's right with God. There's some good looking boys right with God. Ain't that right, Billy? Me and you know all about that, don't we? I saw Ron today. I come in, I said, "Ron, you looking good." He said, "I know it." He said, "How else am I supposed to look?" Brother Dan, you're pretty good looking to me from California. There's some skanks out there, brother, I'm telling you. living in tents on the street and in the parks and on the side of the river. I'm telling you, listen, you boys, listen to me. She might be a princess with a demon living in her. Yeah. She might be the prettiest girl in school, but if she ain't on the same path you are, you need to leave her alone. Now, I can go a long way with people that don't completely agree with me as long as they're going in the right direction.
Amen.
But I'm not going to hang around people that hinder me. You'll lose those friends real quick when you get in this race if you look at them and say, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay right with God. I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going there. I'm going to be right with God. I'm not going there." Now, you're going to do whatever you want to, but you'll go without me.
Come on now.
And don't be hanging around here with that junk going on around you. I'm not having that. I'm trying to go right with God. I'm not going the other direction. He said, "You did run well." Who hindered you? 9 times out of 10, when Christians get out of the will of God, it's because of a person. Now, Brother Ron, you ain't got to be so fanatical about this thing. You know, we grew up together. We know each other. You ain't got to go crazy about this religion stuff. I go to church sometimes. I read the Bible sometimes. You know, I try to treat people good, Brother Ron. So why don't you skip church this one time and go with me? It's over here. They're not out to help you. Right, here's where you're supposed to get mad. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Now, he wouldn't have said that if he didn't mean something.
Amen.
You parents, listen to me. I don't care how cute or how much your kid loves those kids, if those kids don't go to church and they're not in a Christian home, or if they're in a Christian home, don't half go to church and they're not being raised right, you better keep your kids away from them. I don't care if it's the preacher's kid. I don't care if it's the deacon or the Sunday school teacher's kid. You better teach them to run with people who will help them be good Christians, not people who will make excuses for not being good Christians.
Come on now.
I might as well throw it in there anyway. You know what you ought to do? Some of y'all ought to get your kid's phone and go through everything on it and start deleting apps. They got Snapchat, you'll take it off. Amen. Instagram, take it off. Monitor Facebook. By the way, why would a 12-year-old want to sit and put things on the computer when they could be outside having a real good time?
Amen.
My wife ain't 12 years old, and she had me in the woods playing today after church. We were building a trail through the woods behind my house, sweating. But we came to church tonight.
That's right.
Amen? Now you listen to me. Listen real close. People will hinder you. Or we can turn that around. You can be a hindrance to people. And you may not even know you're being a hindrance to people, but if you're not cooperating with God in the change process, others who are looking up to you will think that you're the example to follow, and you'll hinder them. All right, one more. You ready to go home? Got quiet on that one there. All right, I don't even have a scripture for this. I don't have a scripture for this, but I thought about it. If you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you want to change your life, you want to change the way you think so you can cooperate with God, you got to focus on progress, not perfection. Did you hear me? Focus on progress, not perfection. You're not perfect. You don't know anybody that is perfect. But you ought to be striving for perfection. So, focus on the progress. Well, you're trying to quit smoking, but you haven't yet. But you're down from one, two packs to one pack. That's progress. Keep praying, keep going. Well, you know, you got this temper, and sometimes it just lets loose, but you're really working on it. You haven't lost your temper once this week. Well, praise God and keep on pushing to get rid of it all. And by the way, this stuff's always going to be in the back of your mind somewhere because you're a sinner. You're not perfect. Well, preacher, if I can't get all in, I'm not going to get in at all. I'd rather have you come one time a month than not come at all. I'm hard on people about that. But I'd rather have you come to church once a week than not at all. Help me. Yes. You say, I'm reading my Bible and I want to read through my Bible, but they say you can do it in a year, and I've been doing it for 6 years. Well, keep going. You'll eventually finish it. Focused on the progress, not perfection. Well, I'm trying to memorize Scripture, but sometimes I mess up. Join the club. We all mess up when we're quoting Scripture sometimes. But have you memorized some Scripture? That's the progress. Well, I want to be a soul winner. I want to win people to Christ. I want to keep people out of a devil's hell. And you ought to. Thank God. Number one, you progress that you want to. Amen. Number two, are you even talking to somebody? Number two, just talk. He said, well, I've been witnessing, been talking, I'm not wanting anybody to the Lord. Yeah, but you're going in the right direction. Quit looking at the perfection and look at the progress. A year ago, you wasn't talking to anybody about the Lord.
Come on now. Yep.
There's no one perfect. Some people are just farther along than other people.
Amen.
Yep. See, people come in here and go to church once a month. They look at you that go every service and they think, boy, I wish I could be like them. They're perfect. But you're not perfect. You're just farther up the road than they are. You got more experience. You hung in there. Come on. Some of y'all want to shout every once in a while, but you're afraid to because you're afraid somebody will make fun of you. But you like it when Billy does it. You like it when Ron does it. Well, at least you like it. Hang in there. One of these days you'll find yourself saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Church, we got saved in. What, two men even said amen. Your dad was one of them, and I think Wayne Henson was the other one. I called it the amen pew. But so what? You want to praise the Lord? You want to say praise the Lord? Join the choir. That's a good place to do it. You're never going to be perfect. But you can always make progress and be better.
Amen.
And by cooperating with God, the Holy Ghost, when He convicts you of something, shoot at it. Try to do it. You say, well, I did and I failed. Well, you started. That was progress. Well, I gave up. Yeah, but did you start? If you started, that was a progressive thing that you at least tried. So get up and try again, whatever it might be. You're never going to be perfect. Turn to Jude 24. Jude 24. In verse 24, he says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Boy, that's good, ain't it? But look here, this part you never look at. and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's the one that's going to present you faultless, not you. Now you're going to work at it, but you're going to fail. And then, but if you still want to be transformed like you ought to want to be, if that's in your heart, then you're going to get up and go again. And here's what you're finally going to say: I'll never be perfect, but He is. I'll never be able to present myself faultless before the Lord when I stand before Him. I will not be faultless, but He will present me faultless because of who He is and what He did.
Amen.
It's His righteousness that saves you, Brother Dan, not yours. And all of these things, remember, He's the one that's Savior, not you. He's the one that changes you, not you. All you do is cooperate. Number one, you cooperate by receiving Him as your Savior. You didn't save you, He did. All you did was ask. Number two, you cooperate with Him by walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, it's not you that's doing that. It's His Spirit that's doing that. It's all Him. All of your salvation is about Him. All of your progression is about Him. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be all about Him.
Amen.
But there's somewhere in your heart, don't you want to be transformed? Don't you want to be different? What one of the greatest feelings I've ever had is I was in Chicago. I went to Walmart because I got homesick. And I told that cashier there, I said, you know why I came to Walmart in Chicago? She said, why? I said, because I feel so at home because everybody looks like a redneck at Walmart no matter where you are in the country. I said, I fit right in. And this lady walked up to me. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're a pastor. I said, yes, ma'am. How did you know? She said, I could just tell. You're different. You stand out in the crowd. And then I was in Iowa, and I went to a grocery store. And this lady came up to me, and I hadn't talked to anybody. She came up to me. She said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. How do you know? She said, you're just different. Now, they didn't see me. If they saw me, they wouldn't like me. They'd said, you're old redneck. But they saw Him in me. Because I'm trying to let Him transform me into what He wants me to be. Into what I naturally am. You young people listen? Are you listening, young people? I hope y'all go to camp next week and you get transformed.
Amen. Yeah.
I wish some of our parents in our church would get transformed. I wish some husbands and wives would get transformed. Boy, this would be a lively place then. People come in this place, they say, I can feel the power and the love of Christ in this place. But what if everybody got on that road to transformation?
Hallelujah.
What if everybody started cooperating with the Holy Ghost in that transformation? People walk in here and get under conviction as soon as they walked in. Yeah. They say George Whitfield, everywhere he went, people would get under conviction. Said he went to a dance one time when he was a young preacher. He went to this village and he was supposed to preach. And said when he got there, it was a day ahead. So somebody down at the store told him they was having a dance. They wanted him to come. He said, well, I don't dance. And they said, well, just come to be with us. And that's where we're going to have the meeting anyway the next day, is in that big hall. He said, so he went up there and he sat down. And said this girl came up to him and said, you want to dance? He said, I don't dance. And she said, come on, dance with me. So he got out there on the floor and he said, wait a minute, I don't do anything without praying first. And said, so right there in the middle of the dance floor, he got down on his knees and started praying out loud, and revival came. And by the time he got through praying, people were all over the floor crying and weeping, and the power and the presence of God had fallen on that place, and they had revival at the dance that night.
Amen.
Broke up the dance. Amen. Amen. I'd like to be like that, wouldn't you? Boy, when you start cooperating with God and He begins to transform you, you can walk into a room full of sinners and they'll all recognize who you are without you saying a word. They'll feel the power and the presence of the Holy God on you and in you. And you don't have to worry about people talking about guns. And I ain't never owned a gun. Nobody's ever bothered me. The only person that ever threatened me was a Christian. Yeah. And a week later he called and apologized because he said God was going to kill him if he didn't. Wouldn't it be something just to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so much that other people around us would look up? And the Bible says this, and they would come to us desiring to know what was different about us, that they might know the hope that's within us so they could have what we've got. It used to be more like that. You remember there was always these people in town when you was lost going to hell. You didn't mess with them because you thought they had God on them.
Yeah.
I remember those people. Those ladies wore those long dresses and that bun up on their head, you know, and people make fun of them. I never made fun of them. I'm scared of them. Yes, sir, I'm scared of them. Those men down there at the work that they didn't tell dirty jokes and they didn't cuss and all that stuff, and other men, some, and by the way, it's church members made fun of them. But us sinners didn't make fun of them because when they came in the room, we felt God.
Right.
You know why? They were cooperating with God to let Him transform them into something that was very noticeable. You don't get by that by turning your church into a football party every Sunday night.
That's right.
You don't get that by dumbing down your choir and letting them wear short breeches, and you don't get that by letting your teenagers act and dress and talk any way they want to. You get that by cooperating with the Holy God through the Holy Spirit and Him transforming us into holy people.
Amen.
Now, you'll never be perfect, but you'll be on the road toward perfection. And when you get to heaven, you'll get to claim His perfection. But unless you're following Him, how's that going to happen? I really believe if the church of the living God would get back to being transformed by the Holy Ghost, that we'd turn this world upside down again. But church members have become so conformed, pressed into looking like, dressing like, talking like, having the same habits and hobbies of this old world, till now it's crept into our churches, and the power of God leaves when that comes in. And they'll write Ichabod over your door. The glory has departed. But I wish it'd get so thick in here, I'd have stopped. And I've seen it happen. We'd have stopped preaching. People would be laying all over the floor, weeping and crying and hollering out to God again. God save my youngin. God save my grandchildren. God save my husband. God save my wife. I can't eat if you don't do it. I can't sleep if you don't do it. God, make me holy. Make me a better Christian, God. I can't exist without your power and your presence. Let's stand.